Sometimes you choose courage, and at other times it's forced upon you. Courage Unraveled is a podcast series where you get to listen to insights, discussions, conversations, and stories from people from all walks of life. You'll be served with dollops of courage, resilience, and strength here. So come along and be educated and inspired. You just may find new ways to flex your own courage muscle. My name is Sana Turnock, and I'm your host. Today, you're about to meet wellness presenter and kinesiologist Amanda Campbell from Melbourne, Australia. Amanda was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at 24. By 29, she was faced with the possible reality that she may never walk again. We take a deep dive into this part of her life and find out about the importance of healing, body and mind rest and repair, and how she's overcome the diagnosis at all odds. It is rather remarkable. By listening to our podcast conversation today, you get a taste of what Amanda's book, Bend It Like Bamboo, is all about. It's a real privilege to be able to share these inspiring podcasts of courage with you. The work undertaken takes many hours to put together and is self-funded. Become a Courage Unraveled patron on Patreon, and not only will you be supporting the podcast, you will also be helping yourself by investing in your own courage. Get access to pre-release episodes and patron-only specials. It's easy being a patron, and the first tiers are less than 2 coffees per month. Cultivate and flex your courage muscle by signing up for a one-to-one Grow Into My Courage program and grab your very own journal. You grow your courage muscle by activating it. Listen to the podcasts, grab yourself the Courage Journal, sign up to the Grow Into My Courage program, and become a patron. After this episode, head over to courageunraveled.com. It's all happening there. Grow into your courage today. Hello, Amanda, and welcome to Courage Unraveled, the author series.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Look, before moving into discussing your pending book, Bend Like Bamboo, let's get to know a little bit about you. The first thing I want to say is that you are a big advocate of a flexible mindset because it provides the opportunity for an unwell body to repair itself, to promote resilience within ourselves, and to connect ourselves to our feelings. So what in your personal life made you get to this belief, or is it actually a knowing?
Love that. I believe that flexibility builds resilience, and that's what Bend Like Bamboo is all about. I think when we become stressed, we become more rigid. We're more closed-minded. We're less creative. We're less innovative. We're not as kind to ourselves or to others. And we're either, you know, firing one of two pathways. We're either in growth and repair or that survival fight or flight mode. And I find that when we're stressed and we're rigid, we're more inclined to express fight or flight or, you know, be in a survival state. But when we can become more flexible in our minds, in our bodies, and our lives, we are giving ourselves the best environment to reset and to choose growth and repair pathways instead. I learned all about this on my own personal journey, recovering from a paralysis at age 29 from multiple sclerosis.
When you were told that you actually had MS, was it actually a shock to you when that diagnosis came through?
Yeah, absolutely. I was 24 years old when I was diagnosed. And at age 19, we did investigation then for some pins and needles and numbness symptoms that I had on the left-hand side of my body. And that only showed one little spot on the brain, but you have to have multiple lesions on the brain to be diagnosed. It wasn't until I was 24 that they found a few lesions on my brain on the second scan, and that's when they diagnosed me. And I really didn't know much about it. I knew it wasn't good, and I knew it was degenerative, and I knew I would have to learn all about it. I was very stressed, and I started to focus on worst case scenarios, because that's what we do when we're stressed. You begin to focus on what you don't want and negativity, and everything becomes a mirror image of what you're believing, how you show up in the world, what biochemistry your body's firing. All is a mirror image of what we believe. And I started to believe when I was diagnosed that I wasn't going to be okay. I was frightened about my future. It was highly unpredictable according to this diagnosis. And 5 years later, my worst fears were realized, and the entire left-hand side of my body became paralyzed over a slow, cruel 10 days. Very quickly, washing and feeding myself became the most difficult tasks of my day.
You weren't able to pick up a fork or a knife or a spoon, the basic day-to-day function.
Yeah, think of what you need two hands for. I couldn't wash my hair. I could only use one hand to wash myself in the shower and hold myself up, getting dressed, using a phone, eating. I was exhausted because my body was going through so much and all the steroids that they gave me to reduce the inflammation in my brain. I was in hospital for about 5 days doing that, and they transferred me to rehabilitation where I would have to learn how to walk again. They first thought, because I wasn't responding to treatment, that I may never walk again. And I was faced with that reality at age 29. It was big, really big. It was big as well when I was 24. My main message is when we become stressed, such as from change, a divorce, financial issues, a pandemic, or a diagnosis, we can go within, we can close off, and we can start to create ideas that we're not going to be okay, we're not good enough. I started to believe, who would want me? How am I going to build a family? Am I going to find love in my life? Am I going to achieve my goals? Am I going to be successful? I was only 24. Feeling frightened about my future, I now understand after studying, and I'm a kinesiologist now, I work with clients and helping other people in the same way. I understand that what we think and what we feel and what we believe is a mirror image of the biochemistry that will fire. I was so stressed of my thinking and what I was believing, and also having MS and just the normal neurological ramifications of that, I started to decline. I find now, having experienced 11 years of clear MRIs and a total reset of my health since my paralysis 11 years ago, I find that there are ways that you can promote growth and repair in the mind and body. And that's what I'm so passionate about sharing.
That sounds fantastic. In your case, what did you actually do to overcome the paralysis?
My pillars of health are mind, body, food, and connection. So first of all, in rehabilitation, I took a very balanced approach. I had a wonderful neurophysiotherapist who was trained to help people not just walk again, but run again. A family friend came and treated me every couple of days at the same time, who is an applied kinesiologist. Kinesiology is the study of the muscles, and in Chinese medicine, we connect the muscles to the organs and the nervous system. Essentially, it helped to wake everything up faster. Communication to the body and the communication from my brain out to my muscles and the pathways. It were many weeks of no change, but there was an additional event that happened, which I guess would be the connection section, where after many weeks contemplating my future being permanently disabled, the girls came and visited me, and they put me in my wheelchair and wheeled me across the road, and we all had dinner together. And because I just felt normal for a second after many, many, many weeks of, you know, going through a nightmare, just sitting at a dinner table, which I could barely keep myself up, and you know, I still could only use the right hand side of my body, but just being in the moment with my friends, laughing like the old days, there was so much joy that came into my body. It was as if I was experiencing joy for the first time more than ever before. Perhaps because of the beauty of polarity, going through such a difficult time, we appreciate the simple things so much more. When you go through so much and you lose so much, simply just sitting at a table and laughing with your friends can mean so much. I really felt joy as if I was absorbing it into my cells. I came back to my room and my toe moved for the first time on my paralyzed foot that night. It was in that moment I found hope. As a result, I started to focus my energy differently. Instead of focusing on what I didn't want, being stressed, imagining worst case scenarios in fight or flight, I began to focus on what I wanted, and I got up the next day and had more willpower and motivation, and I was first in at physio and last to leave. I walked and ran in 6 weeks. Dramatic change. And I realized then that what we're thinking and what we're feeling and what we believe can be possible makes a huge difference when you're in recovery.
That is such a good example that you've given about being in the moment of joy with your friends. When you're in joy, you're letting go, aren't you? You're not contracting, right? There's a dilation. If you think about the dilation of the blood vessels, there's not a contraction of the muscle.
An opening, yeah. A heart opening, which then signals to your brain, oh, I'm safe. I don't need to prioritize keeping her alive. We don't need to be in fight or flight. We can now prioritize growth and repair pathways instead. I started to research all about Bruce Lipton's work and repair pathways versus survival. And I started to understand that these were real pathways according to studies on mind-body connection. And then it was nutrition and really learning how to heal my gut and to eat more nutrient-dense foods. There's multiple doctors, amazing health practitioners that have gone through their own diseases. Dr. Terry Walls, who also has MS, and because medicine wasn't helping her, she had to look at a different way. And so she then, you know, having the brain that she does and the study in the background, around. She worked out what foods maximize repair, and I started to follow her diet initially, like eating, you know, green leafy vegetables, deeply colored fruits and vegetables, sulfur-rich foods and iodine-rich foods, and lots of good fat. Then there's Professor Jelinek, who promotes a pescatarian diet more so, whereas Wals more is probably the paleo diet. But really, the most common denominators across all the diets that I've researched have been really ramping up nutrient-dense food, particularly plant-based foods, good fats. And when you focus on what you want or focus on what's up, you're inevitably going to be satiated and you're going to remove the bad stuff. It's a mental game at the same time. When just having a goal is not enough to make something happen. Having a goal is like an idea that we have in our conscious brain. But then what we believe is what matters, and what we believe is very seated in our subconscious brain. Our beliefs stem from there. When things aren't happening for us, or we're feeling unwell, or we're not able to repair, there's an inner conflict. And that's when what we're believing is not aligning with our goals. So there's a lot of work that you have to do to understand why you're believing what you're believing. And bending like bamboo is all about changing your mind with flexibility about what you're believing about yourself and what can be possible for you. For me, when I started to believe that I could walk again, I then started to change my mind about what I could achieve in my life personally and then professionally. And then what I wanted started aligning with what I believed, and the change in my body and recovery and my maintenance program now has just been absolutely profound.
Wow, that's brilliant. I have a little bit of knowledge around MS. I just wanted to ask you, essential fatty acids like alpha lipoic acid, that's one that comes to mind, B vitamins, like to protect the myelin sheath for you, what kind of nutrition are you looking to protect that myelin sheath?
There's so much research on this. I highly recommend Robin Chutkan's book. She's got a really great one called The Microbiome Diet, and she goes right into brain health and gut health. So you really want to repair the gut so you can absorb and assimilate your nutrients. When I first started ramping up my fruits and vegetables and fiber-rich foods, my gut freaked out. I focus on green leafy vegetables, deeply colored foods, beetroots and grapes, and deeply colored foods all the way through, carrots, for example, as well. Sulfur-rich foods help to detox the cells. So onion, garlic, cauliflower, broccoli. There's a lot of science behind, as you said, omega-3s and good fats. And you can get that through nuts and seeds and fish and various other foods that you can just do a quick Google search and the whole list will come up for you. For some people, they might need to supplement on top of foods, but I'm a huge food believer first. Get your nutrients through foods. Hydration is really, really important, and really learning where sugar's coming from in your sources and your pantry. You really want to start making things from scratch. I think also ethically sourced and organic foods are the most nutrient-dense foods available as well.
When you were talking earlier, you were still in the wheelchair and your left side was affected. So the nervous system was affected, and with the nervous system being affected, then therefore that's going to affect your muscles because the signals aren't quite working correctly to keep you up. Is that how it works in this sense?
It's not just the nervous system. What happens with MS is you have a lesion in the brain. And when I was paralyzed, that lesion was on the right-hand side of my brain in the motor skill area that communicated to much of my left-hand side of the body. Sometimes you get lesions where it just might give you a bit of pins and needles in your arm or your hand, or you'll get that lesion like I did where it just got the whole left side of my body, because what happens is it becomes inflamed, that site in your brain, and then the electrical signals that fire out to make that body part work stops communicating. And then when you have relapsing remitting MS or benign MS or early MS, eventually that inflammation, usually after some steroid treatment or time passes, it will calm down, and then that becomes scar tissue. When you've got MS, you want to reduce the amount of new lesions and new relapses so you don't have lots and lots of lesions, because what's going to happen is the body's not going to find new ways to go around these scar tissues, and that's a permanent disability. So
yeah,
doesn't have the capability of finding a new way. Basically, I've got a few lesions on the right-hand side of my brain, one on my brain stem at the top there, which affects my balance, and they have found one at the top part of my spine. My symptoms include bladder issues. Sometimes my digestive system has always been my weak spot. Fatigue, balance. Other people experience nerve pain, blindness. You can stop swallowing, cognitive changes. There's just so much your brain does.
Were there ever times when you were afraid or just didn't think that you'd have enough grit and stamina to keep searching for healing practices that could help free you of MS?
Yeah, 100%. Before that moment of hope happened where I couldn't see a pathway forward, yeah, they were difficult times, not being able to move, spending a lot of alone time in rehab, staring at four white walls, contemplating, oh my God, what next?
Your call to action is one of having a flexible mindset, right, in order to open yourself up to repairing and healing the body and mind. What about a courageous mindset?
Courage comes from willpower. So in Chinese medicine, that's all about the kidney organ. Kidney and bladder sit in the water element, and courage and willpower will become deficient from fear. And that's also the sacral chakra, and that's also the bladder and kidney organ. There's also that part in Chinese medicine when you are in balance and you've overcome your fear, you will have the ability to tap into your inner wisdom, self-knowledge, where you know better. But when fear overcomes you, you lose track of that. You're not able to tap into that inner resource. It's like when I talk about flexibility in the mindset, I think of a thermostat. So no matter what chaos goes on around you, you find the power and anchor within yourself to be able to remain consistent within, which is going to balance your biochemistry, your nervous system, and your ability to have courage.
Absolutely. And I guess when you get your pins and needles, that's a sign of being paralyzed. Paralyzed with fear.
Oh, yeah. My mind was mirror imaging. My body was mirror imaging how paralyzed I felt emotionally.
In your case, do you think it was an emotional cause?
I looked after myself somewhat, but I think it's the inner conflict. I'm a twin. My twin sister has Crohn's disease, and she was very sick with it when we were young. We have a happy family, but, you know, we all have our issues. And I think growing up, Nicole and I always struggled in believing in ourselves. And I think that I always had this thing with not believing that I could achieve my goals or that I was enough. As a twin, you stick together and you find it difficult going forward. We were in separate human cribs when we were younger and all this kind of stuff, which I've written in my book. And so I do hypothesize that, yeah, when I was diagnosed with MS, it was just another reason, because we always try and make our beliefs true. So if I'm already believing I'm not enough, I'm not going to be successful, I'm not going to be able to achieve my dreams, I can't make things happen for myself, and then I get diagnosed with MS, it's like, oh, yeah, of course I'm not enough. See, there's the proof. Until you learn to be more flexible in your mind and body, eating really good food, movement, connection, connecting with yourself, connecting with people around you more, then when you feel good, you're more likely to adapt and change and see things from a higher perspective. Because you imagine when we're stressed, we're very reactive. If you think of seeing things from the ground floor, all you can see what's in front of you. You don't have that higher perspective where you can see all the reasons why things are happening and you're a bit more strategic, which is how I work with businesses when I do my resilience workshops. It's all about improving your mindset for performance and reducing stress to be able to problem solve effectively and to connect. But professionally and personally, I think being flexible in your mind, body, and life, it's, you know, the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's work, and your call to courage. We all are going to hit rock bottom. You have to hit rock bottom to have this craving to change. And if you can be flexible in your mind, you'll see that it's the best thing that ever happened to you. All of this stuff is the best stuff that ever happened to me. It's probably easy for me to say that now as well because I'm well. But I still think even if I was sitting in a wheelchair, I would feel somewhat the same. I actually do believe that.
I listened to one of your resilience talks and you spoke about being the carrier of intergenerational issues, like trauma on your mother's side, hence having the diagnosis of MS. Let's explore this a bit. What do you mean by this?
You watched the interview with Deborah Lee Furness, and we talk about apparently three generations before us, so our mother and our grandmother and our great-grandmother and also our father, grandfather and great-grandfather, we're so connected to our ancestors and their DNA comes through to us, but we also know that DNA is malleable as well, according to what we believe. And so I think I've noticed that some of mum's issues that she hasn't overcome in her life have come through to me, but they don't feel like they're mine. It's like, oh, why do I have these beliefs that I'm not enough when I actually feel, and it's almost like, yeah, I don't know, there's a connection. And then there reaches a point in your life, I think, where you choose to be the one to go further than they did. I feel like only at age 40 now have I answered my call to courage and gone, nah, I'm going further. And the world opens up and your body changes and your mind changes and how you see things. It's like you step into a whole new dimension. And I'm sounding a bit crazy, aren't I?
not to me. Like, you make perfect sense. But it's funny you said that, because one of my next questions was, do you find people can relate to what you're saying, or do they view it as woo-woo?
Well, I mean, the book is It Didn't Start With You, and I really recommend it. And it's just, they've done a lot of studies on why their subjects had panic attacks or pain in the body or just couldn't propel themselves forward from a mental or a physical condition. And they found that once they nailed how it was connected to the grandmother or the great-grandmother, it resolved. It's like cuts the cord of the connection. It makes sense to me. We're born with our parents and our ancestors' traits. So why not their life journey as well? Why not?
Looking at people that go through the Holocaust, that's an intergenerational trauma. When you're hearing about people with heart transplants, they end up sensing things and feeling things that aren't theirs,
and
but they're carrying it.
Speaking language. Like, what?
That's right. So it really does highlight and demonstrate that we are an energetic system.
You know, and we learn what's in them as well. Bending like bamboo is all about choosing what's yours and what's theirs and changing your mind about some of these beliefs, because it's so easy to stay in your comfort zone. And I think you know when you are betraying yourself, when you need to move away from a situation or an idea or a limiting belief. You know when something's not right for you. But building resilience, I believe, is finding that inner power and anchor within you where you feel so secure and powerful. This is definitely a self-esteem topic as well, where you know what to walk towards and what to walk away from. It's actually the most important lesson I've ever learned in my life. So I created a resilience formula, anchor minus letting go plus flexibility equals resilience. And so your inner anchor is like that tree rooted in the ground, which allows it to be flexible. And, you know, as I just said, when you've got your inner anchor, you know what to walk towards and what to walk away from. You're your own best friend. You've got to know what to let go of. And letting go, there's a great book by David Hawkins called Letting Go, actually. Highly recommend reading it. And it's hard. It's hard letting go, and there is an art to it. And flexibility is so important. So flexibility in our mindset impacts everything that matters, our body's ability to repair, how happy and resilient we are and how connected we feel, and whether you can adapt and change your mind about this intergenerational stress or stuff that you've created growing up that's led to an imbalance in your body. It's about being flexible. I really believe that.
And I've come to understand it's also about courage. I agree with you about flexibility, but I've come to learn it's also courage, because it's about taking those small steps. You talk about becoming the anchor, but you actually need to get to a point of knowing you need the anchor. And sometimes it's pretty scary getting to that place. So you do need whatever courage you can muster, and whatever that means to you, to get to that point so that you feel safe and confident enough to then move forward in the steps that you've just pointed out. Because and courage is about taking those baby steps. It's not necessarily this great Mount Everest. It's these little steps that you need to take that may seem huge to you but may not to another person. Just moving on a little bit, you're a sports kinesiologist and a wellness presenter, and you've created Bend Like Bamboo program. Is this program based on the strategies that you've learned in your own healing process, or is it based on different practices?
It's definitely based on everything I've learned on my personal journey and all of my studies and the pillars of health. Yeah, happy mind, happy body, happy food and connection. Kinesiology is a great way and the best way I've found of getting to the bottom of my inner conflict. And no matter what client I'm seeing, whether I'm dealing with back pain or an issue with an organ, anxiety, depression, it could be any mental or physical ailment. It is always getting to the bottom of why is that client in survival? When did it start? What are they believing? How can they change their mind about it? And the inner conflict. So what are their goals and why aren't they believing in themselves or what's possible for them? It's a journey through their childhood, understanding and unpacking all of that. Then fueling the body with optimal nutrition to make the right chemicals fire, and so you can promote repair and learning how to reconnect. Sometimes we have to learn to reconnect because we've lived so much of our lives in disconnection. So if we have a fear of being criticized, you can spend your entire life avoiding love and joy. In Chinese medicine, we call it blocked enjoyment. It's actually a thing, and we can block feeling enjoyment just in case we're disappointed or lonely, until they change their minds about it. There's a lot of amazing work you can do with the mind and body using kinesiology. So yeah, they're my pillars of health, and the book and my program is all about sharing my story to create that metaphor and an example, and then running through techniques of mindset and then a body program. As a kinesiologist, my movement program is not just about stretches and exercises. It's, oh, what emotion are you releasing while you're squatting, for example? If you're working on your lower back, you're going to be working on issues of feeling supported or letting go or grief. With all the research I've done on nutrition, I've even flew to the States to meet Dr. Terry Walls because her program just changed my life. I've been so grateful to all the other doctors that I've researched. I've got all their links on my website, of course. I learned that there were common denominators. And a year after I opened up in like Bamboo, I co-founded Nourish, which was a ready-made meal business I did with a couple of people, including Vina Mofo. And we delivered fresh, nutrient-dense, ready-made meals. And that was my passion. And it was all about educating people of what nutrient-dense food was all about and how when you feel better, you can make significant changes in your life.
It seems like the diagnosis of MS has brought you some amazing gifts, because if you didn't have it, do you think you would have done all of this?
My world just opened up. I mean, I had to work really hard on solving it for myself. And then I was so amazed with the results and how much better I felt. And that every year, every MRI was clear. It was clear. It was clear. It was 11 years this year. And I was like, well, I've got to share this knowledge. I've got to share what I've learned. I went back to school for a couple of years. And so I just felt like, well, I need to just share the knowledge. And I love working with clients one-on-one at my private practice. And I'm amazed to see how this works on so many different issues. So whether it's a mental issue or physical pain in the body or an illness or change, going through a divorce, dealing with a pandemic.
Did you use kinesiology yourself, like as part of going to the deeper levels of MS? Right. Is that why you became a kinesiologist?
It helped me walk again, literally helped me walk again. They could not understand why I was walking, couldn't believe it. I was dumbfounded. I just had to study it. And then when I studied it, I unpacked all the emotional stuff, what my inner conflict was about, which was so subconscious.
Do you think it was the modality itself? Well, it's a number of modalities really, isn't it, this kinesiology? But do you think it was the modality itself or the practitioner that you were seeing at the time or a combination?
I've seen multiple kinesiologists and they've all been great for different things that I've needed, from a symptom to physical walking to emotional stuff. And another kinesiologist totally ended up solving my digestive issues to the point now where it's just not an issue, which to me is life-changing.
Absolutely.
Wake up and, you know, and bladder issues, when you have to pee all the time, it is really annoying and anxiety provoking. Yeah. And when you're not going regularly every day to the toilet, it hurts. And so Kinesiology, different kinesiologists have solved different things. We're all talented in our own different ways as well. So you've just got to see lots of different people. I love seeing lots of different healers and practitioners and seeing what they specialize in. Obviously, people come to me because I'm the practitioner and the patient with MS, because I've gone through what medicine do I choose, you know, knowing all about them. How do I talk to my neurologist about everything and taking that balanced approach?
It's good that you've got that specialization. I think it's very helpful for people who know where to go if they can access you as well. But there's only one of you, right? So that can make it a bit tricky.
Yeah, and I'm lucky. One of the kinesiologists I see is also a nutritionist and a naturopath. So you get the whole package with some people.
Yes, you do. Let's shift focus a little bit. Let's move into becoming a first-time author. You're currently putting the book together, Bend Like Bamboo.
Finally, I've been writing it for about 4 years. I hope it's out by March.
People, it might be out already by the time you get to hear this. Why write the book? Was it because of your success? I mean, it's taken 11 years, but was it because of this? You felt it was important to tell your story?
When I opened up Nourish, my nutrition business, I would give talks to businesses to explain the why behind the company. I'm also an MS ambassador and I do volunteer speaking work. I have done that for about 10 years now. And I saw that the impact it made when you share your story and people are more educated about the disease and they also understand that what you can achieve despite disability. And so that's a really important topic for me. So much of my role as the CEO of the company was a lot of talks and speaking and interviews. I had a huge why behind what I was trying to do at Nourish. I've been writing the book for years, perfecting it and just working out what do people need to hear. It's my story when I was little and how my beliefs started and my mom and my dad and what came through maybe and my twins' journey and how I got sick and then how it all went pear-shaped and then how I recovered. I talk about the pillars of health of happy mind, happy body, happy food and connection and how you can master resilience professionally and personally.
Do you think it's courageous to write a book for publication?
Oh, yeah. It's like writing a song, which I used to do in my early 20s. Also, it used to be a musician. And when you write a book or a song, it's your vulnerability. It comes from you. So if people don't like it, it's like, oh, you don't like me.
Yeah. What does courage mean to you?
It's when a person gets to a point where they're so out of survival that they don't make it about themselves. They make it about the message.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned actress and adoption advocate Deborah Lee Furness as someone who is courageous. How did you originally meet and how has she influenced you?
Deborah Lee is one of the most authentic human beings I've ever met, and obviously one of the most famous ones. She spoke about it publicly on the podcast, so it's okay to talk about it, but I worked with her and the family as a kinesiologist, and she found me. And it was when Nourish took off, my second business, and I had a lot of media then, and she sat me down and would have cups of tea with me, and she just helped me deal with, you know, fast success, and just said, you know, do this kind of PR, don't do this. And she was just so warm and wonderful and lovely, and she's just amazing. I can't even explain. She just really cares about helping people, and she has a beautiful heart, and so that really inspires me. But I've been lucky to interview lots of people on my show. I had Craig Harper a couple of weeks ago. God, he was so inspiring too. I was so nervous when I was interviewing him. He even caught on. He said, Amanda, stop structuring everything so much. Let's just talk and go with the flow. So we just had this talk, and it ended up being so juicy. That'll come out soon, that one.
Cool. Let listeners know who Chris Harper is for those who don't know.
Yeah, Craig Harper. He's he's a speaker, and he does a lot of corporate work, and he specializes in health and transformation. He's got The You Project is his famous podcast.
Going back to Deborah Lee Furness, how helpful would that have been to actually get those snippets of gold from someone who's in the biz?
We had spent so much time together, and then I asked her to be on the show, and obviously Deborah has to be very careful what she says yes to, but she's followed my work, and it just honoured me so much that she just really believes in what I'm trying to do. So she just opened up so much and shared the most wonderful learnings that she's had with resilience and how to overcome adversity in her life, and the mindset tools that she has. I saw her on Arne's Stroke, the artist Arne's.
Yeah, I do. I love that show.
Yeah. And so I watched that interview, and then I rang her and I just said, oh my gosh, everything you just said on that show is exactly what we would do in this interview. And she's like, all right, let's do it. I'm just so grateful that she's just a believer in what I'm trying to do, and that she's been such a huge support. And it was just an honor working with her and her family.
Yeah, definitely. Final question. Are you courageous?
Yeah.
You don't sound very convincing.
I'll have the courage to say yes.
I like it. I like it a lot. Thank you so much for being on Courage Unraveled today, man. It's been just fabulous talking to you.
Thanks for having me, Sana. Thank you.
It's a real pleasure. Until next time.
Amanda's experience highlights the body's innate ability to heal itself, providing it has been given the right tools. I have no doubt in my mind that MS has given Amanda many gifts, including insight and wisdom to enrich her life, kinesiology practice, and connecting with audiences at speaking engagements. And not to mention her book, Bend Like Bamboo. Jump onto courageunraveled.com/podcasts and go to Series 4, Episode 20 via the website, and you'll have all of Amanda's contact details at your fingertips via the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, leave a 5-star review via Google or my Facebook page, Joyful Living with Sana Turnock. And if you do this, you could be in the running to win one of 2 Courage journals. What you have to do is, once you write that review, take a photo of it, email it to me via hello@courageunraveled.com before the end of April 2021. The winners, 2 of them, will be announced in Series 5, and their review will be read on one of the episodes. I haven't mentioned this before, but did you know that you can actually become a friend of Courage Unraveled? All you have to do is go to courageunraveled.com on the homepage. A pop-up will appear. Once you've filled in the details, you'll be on my mailing list to receive lots of information, new podcast series, any specials that may be happening via the website, and any other juicy bits and pieces, including my blogs. All right, that's about it from me. There's lots on offer. All you have to do is reach out. I'm Sana Turnock, your Courage Unraveled host. Until next time.